The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Rigged. Favoritism. Bias.
What are we talking about here?
Oh, okay, the college football playoff. Good. Certainly no sports talk shows of competitive banter. No, definitely the college football playoff. With this battle, Rita Kives, Tim Callishaw, Kevin Blackstone, Mr. Bob Ryan. The latest rankings of the college football playoff look just like every ranking of the college football playoff. Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, Ohio State, Florida dropped a whole one spot after a loss. Two lost teams are way ahead of undefeateds in this ranking. Pat 40 for SI Today says it's favoritism and rigged for power programs. Our Bill Plaschke wrote up today, USC is being disrespected. Do with that what you want. The debate about best teams or best resumes goes on. Tim Callishaw, around the horn to you. Is this legit? Is this rigged? Or just the way it has to be in a season like this?
All these complaints are legit. I think when you see the two lost teams stacked up ahead of undefeated Cincinnati, it's the committee telling Cincinnati, there is no scenario, there is nothing that can happen that we will ever allow you to go be one of the top four and play in that. And when you look at little things like Iowa State now jumping up with two losses, they lost to Louisiana by 13 points, yeah. By 17 points. They're 13 spots ahead of Louisiana, which only has one loss. There's a lot of little things that say the group of five teams are never going to have a prayer. Now, most of it isn't going to matter if the favorites win. But if you're going to have these rankings, they ought to make sense.
Okay, so you would say favoritism. You would say rigged. Kevin Blackstone, would you?
Absolutely, and you can throw bias in there. But we all understand this for the reasons that Tim laid out. The Power Five is the Power Five for a very real reason. And you look at what happened to Cincinnati, right? Cincinnati hasn't played since before people sat down to eat turkey for Thanksgiving, and they still slipped a point despite being undefeated. But the last time we saw them, they had to come back to beat a 5-3 UCF team as well. So there is that. This is not going to change. It creates great argument. The arguments are almost ridiculous because we know that these are the conferences that rule the roost, especially the SEC. And you look at Ohio State in the Big Ten, 5-0. The Big Ten had the idea, you know what, if you don't play six games, you're not getting in. And they looked at the end of the day and said, forget that. They're getting okay. In. They're the best shot we get.
You're talking about ruling the roost. Where are the Chanticleers? That's another team to throw in this. Bob Ryan, I'll bring you in here. Seems like Callishaw and Blackstone are awfully blasé. Oh, it's rigged. It's favoritism. But it's a good debate. Well, if the debate is this is rigged, do you even have a debate or should it just be scrapped? Go ahead.
Rigged is a loaded word. I don't want to go near it right now. Now, the fact of the matter is that we shouldn't even be having this discussion. Just table it for another year. No playoff. I said before the season it was going to be a convoluted season. It's all going to be, and it turned out to be exactly that. It's pointless. I'm not going to even recognize my diplomatic recognition whoever wins. Now, that said, number one is correct. Number four is correct. And two and three are going to settle that one Saturday night. They got the best four teams. Everybody else is jockeying for position for bowl games that may or may not be played. It's just irrelevant discussion. Mm-hmm. They can argue all about the four. They have the right four teams, and that's all we all really should care about who are neutrals.
And Mina Kimes.
Well, Tony, in the words of the cinematic classic, Bring It On, this is not a democracy, it's a cheerocracy. By which I mean the committee is rooting for the Power Five teams to prevail, same as it's always been. By the way, there's nothing new about any of this. It's only magnified by the fact that these teams are playing fewer games, so it's more obvious. There's no logical justification for undefeated Cincinnati to be behind the likes of Florida. You can tie yourself up in knots trying to explain it, but we all know the game, and it's always going to be the game until they expand the playoffs. Now, you can argue against expanding the playoffs because we'd have lopsided games, but there's going to be a Cincinnati, there's going to be a UCF. This will be the case until the end of time because four teams is a small number of teams.
If larger shoes were tied in knots, maybe Florida would not be having this problem, by the way. Tim Kalisha, I know you always drill down on it's the best team. The job is for the committee to pick the best team, and therefore, there's no debate on who those four teams are, in your opinion.
There isn't right now, but what happened? I do wonder what happens Saturday if Notre Dame loses by 30 points to Clemson. Are they still one of the four best teams? And then you're in that situation where are they really going to bump Iowa State up if they beat Oklahoma? You know, I don't know what they do if that happens.
Does anybody think it was a missed opportunity, though? I mean, I've been saying this for 9 months. This was a year where you should throw everything out. And if you had a brainstorm where you wanted a bigger playoff, this is the year to try it. Well, maybe this could have been the year to try it, but they didn't go with it. Instead, they went with what you're telling me is favoritism, rigged bias. We'll move on. This sweet step back three from James Harden last night. Other than that, it looked like a preseason game for Harden and everybody else because it was. But today, Tim McMahon, ESPN, James Harden and the Rockets are at a breaking point. He's going to act up. He's never heard no before, a former staff member for the team was quoted as saying in that article. And an assistant said, I don't blame James. I blame the organization. He did what they allowed him to do. So he had some huge quotes in that article. Today, Harden met with media, and he's moving forward with playing. In another report that came out, he hasn't even talked to the GM. They haven't had one conversation yet. What happens now, Kevin Blackstone?
Well, what should happen now is that the Rockets, with a new organization, a new coach, ought to look at the last 8 years in which I think James Harden has been there and say, you know what? This is over. This experiment is over. He gave us a great run. We had a high watermark a few years ago. We won 65 games with Chris Paul. It looked like we had a real shot there. That didn't work out. We brought in Westbrook. You know what? That didn't work out. We got to go in a new direction. But I don't think there's anything you can do right now with James Harden there to fix the things around him. That's what you've tried to do ever since he's been there. And that's what someone is going to try and do if they should acquire him. And I think that that's what the Rockets should do. They should look to relieve James Harden of his duties in Houston.
Tim, when you read that McMahon piece, no one's ever said no to James in this franchise. And really, I mean, he's beyond blame here?
Oh, no, he's not beyond blame. But, I mean, the organization is the one that let him get away with it. When you read that and you think about all his magnificent scoring. We've seen things the last couple of years where he's doing things first since Wilt Chamberlain. It made me think, well, maybe he is Wilt Chamberlain. He used to live in New York and play in Philadelphia and tell him, you want me to show up for the practices or the games? And that sounds like what Harden does when there's 2 days off between games. But that is on the organization, coaches, GMs, everybody, owners, for allowing that to happen.
Mina, does this strike you as an untenable position right now?
Yes. I mean, he's gone at some point, right? Like, the most interesting revelation from today is the fact that he hasn't talked to the GM. Because all this other stuff about him being difficult to work with or exerting his leverage, that's not terribly surprising in a league where superstars have so much power. But going forward, they're going to have to move on, and they're going to also have to maximize the return. Like, we can talk about, oh, they should split ways. The Rockets, you know, didn't succeed with him. It's time for this to end. James Harden is still one of the most valuable players in the league, right? So they need to make good until they can send him on his merry way and maximize their return, and that should be the concern of this organization right now.
All right, Bob Ryan, historically speaking, there have been players who have been, well, unhappy with their lot and wanting to be traded, and they have done all sorts of things to make that happen. You read this article today saying the organization's to blame for the position they're in right now. How do you consider it all?
Well, I was very interested in reading that story because I was unaware of some of those particulars. Mm-hmm. I do think, though, if that's half of it's true, three quarters of it's true, the rest of the league knows it, too, via the grapevine. So it's caveat emptor whoever gets him. My feeling on James Harden is very simple. He's on his way to a fourth straight scoring title. I'll say that right now. He'll go to the Hall of Fame. He'll be able to make his speech. but he's a sideshow. He is not one of the great players, one of the great winning players of all time. He is a complete sideshow, an anomaly, a very an irrelevant factor in terms of winning and losing for the most part in this league. And that's the sum and substance of it. You dribble, 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 step back, shoot, dribble, 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 go to the basket. Oh, get breathed on, go to the free throw line. Who cares?
Woo! I mean, Bob Ryan, I respect everything you've ever said about the NBA. You're in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Does anyone think Bob's being a little bit too hard on Harden here? Blackstone, you?
I think a little bit too hard. I mean, I understand your lack of appreciation for that part of his game, but he's been as exciting a player to watch during his time playing this league as anyone. He's done things in this league that we haven't seen done before. The problem with James Harden right now is that the superstar treatment that he has been given within the franchise has not produced a trophy. Kawhi Leonard had special rules for him in Toronto. It produced a trophy. You look back at The Last Dance, Dennis Rodman, a role player, critical role player. There were rules for him, but it produced a championship, and that has not happened.
Mina Kimes, you look a little verklempt here after hearing Bob Ryan there.
I just, I mean, he's one of the most dominant scorers in the history of the sport.
Bob knows that.
But it doesn't sound like it. I understand that aesthetically you don't like his game. You're certainly not alone in that. But to categorize him as a sideshow, I think, is way out of line, like, given what
could
he's capable of doing on the
court. I mean, Bob, could there be a team that could bring him back to what – His ability certainly is to be the star and an apex predator in this league and a winning player. Could one team get something Houston hasn't been able to get out of him?
Perhaps some team in history that with the right coach and the right matching players, but not in the current team. Right. It's gone too far. We've all agreed it's gone too far. No. That ship sailed. He's out in there. He's his own entity.
Then we'll
Good
give
luck.
You the last question.
I lean toward Team Ryan. I mean, he's very difficult to play with. You got to plant four guys around the three-point line and let him dribble till his heart's content. No other player forces a team into that sort of offense.
Wow, man. What happened to enjoy the art?
Truth to that.
What, I mean, Tim Kalishaw, everything you just said about James Harden, you like to dribble outside of the three-point line, fire a few takes on this TV show, and then walk off the court on your own? Maybe you're the James Harden of the show. That's a good question. Who is the James Harden of our panel? It's either Woody or Kalishaw, and they're number one, number two all-time wins.
No way.
Around the Horn is presented by Bullet Bourbon Frontier Whiskey. Highly awarded high rye whiskey. Enjoy responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Stop me when this sounds familiar. NFL owners' meetings on whether they should and will expand the season starting next year. Mina Kimes, does expansion to 17 or 18 or 162 games next year make sense?
Well, it would be 17, right, which they've agreed to at some point. I'm selling the idea that this is good for the players from a health perspective and a mental one, given what they've gone through. But I'm buying the notion that both sides, the owners and the Players Association, will consider it for financial reasons. Because of the losses from the pandemic, I could see them wanting to make a few extra bucks.
Tim Kalishaw?
I'm going to buy it from the sense that we know they're not going to go back to the four preseason games. We've seen the last of that. And it's the fringe players who really get beat up in the preseason. And so you're kind of saving them a little bit anyway. It seems it hurts the rhythm of the season, but they don't care much about the balance of the rhythm. They care about the money.
I go to you for my rhythm. Kevin Blackstone, how about you?
Well, obviously they're going to try and meet this out for financial reasons, but it doesn't make any sense to me from health reasons, as Mina just pointed out. These players have sacrificed what we really don't know playing through this pandemic, and it seemed like to me they would want to hold on to what health they have right now.
Bob Ryan?
I agree that I understand why they were doing it financially, but it's not the right time to do it. Of course, I thought this was a done deal. They are going to do it. We know it's going to happen. It's just wait until 2022. I totally agree on the health thing.
Buy or sell two, stop me when this sounds familiar. Could Clemson's Trevor Lawrence, projected number one NFL draft pick, spurn the New York Jets?
Stop.
Rich Cimini for ESPN today. Mina, I'm looking at your face now. You've heard this before for number one picks. Some like Eli Manning actually doing it. You've heard it before projected upon Lawrence, although he isn't taking the bait in any way here. Where are you in this right now?
Well, could he? Yes. Will he? Absolutely not. We're talking about a player who lobbied to play college football with no reason to. He was already going to be the number one pick this season. We're also talking about a Jets team that will be in much better condition when he gets there. There'll be a new head coach. This year's draft bore some really nice players. It'll be a good landing spot for Trevor.
Tim Galishaw.
You know, I think it's possible a guy from a small town in Georgia who chose Clemson isn't thrilled about living off Route 22 in New Jersey, although I enjoyed my time there. But I don't think we talk about this a lot more than it ever actually happens. And he doesn't seem like the kind of guy who's going to do anything, so I think he'll be a Jet.
Kevin Blackstone.
You know, if the Supreme Court takes the case on compensation for college athletes and rules on it immediately, and all of a sudden he can make $35 million playing at Clemson rather than having to go to the league, then yeah, maybe. But okay. That's not likely to happen.
That's not likely.
He'll be in the NFL.
Jockeying around for teams, you know, the Jets isn't something he would want. Maybe Jacksonville. I don't know why, but maybe because you said he grew up in Georgia. Maybe Jacksonville is a better option. Maybe Dabo Swinney gets hired by Jacksonville. Bob, I'm just throwing in ideas here. Does he have leverage? Should he be thinking about this?
I don't see that he has the leverage that Elway had, who had baseball, or that Eli had because he had a Manning name and an agent at all. And I don't know that he's the young man who's going to want to do this. Aren't we being sold that he's a very spiritually guided young man with principles? And I don't think that he would think – I think he would think it's unseemly not to do what the rules say.
Oh, okay. I never considered it would be immoral to kind of dictate where you would like to work. I mean, it's odd. These guys get told where they're playing. The point is, if somebody's drafting at the top of the draft – that team's usually not good. And whether it's the Jets, whether it's the Bears, whether it's Jacksonville, these are all franchises who haven't really hit it out of the park with quarterbacks. We'll move on. Bill Belichick's record versus rookie quarterbacks. Does anybody know what it is? I'll give you big points if you do.
It's good. It's real good.
It's good.
It's good. That's what you guys have for me. It's good. That's not good enough. It's 21-5. And this week, it's Tua. Brian Flores says the Patriots will be a very good challenge. KB, buy or sell, Tua living up to the Belichick challenge here.
Well, you know, we just saw him last. He was pretty good. Went through for over 300 yards, a couple touchdowns in that Kansas City game. Roll him out there. We won't know how good he can be until he plays the game.
Bob Ryan, you've seen this firsthand, how Belichick matches up against rookie quarterbacks. How do you think Flores and Tua should be attacking it, and how do you think he'll do it?
I think he has a better chance than most of those youngsters in that he is a mobile quarterback, and that kind of quarterback traditionally does give the Patriots trouble, whether he's 35 or 21. I say go put him out there as well. He might give the Patriots some trouble.
Mina Kimes?
This is not a good Patriots defense, but Tua also is missing a ton of weapons. I say it doesn't matter because the Dolphins are in it for the long term with him. Yes, they're in playoff contention, but for the most part, all their decisions right now are being guided by their future, and Tua is the future of this team.
You put anything into the stat that Belichick owns rookie quarterbacks, and you saw what he did at Justin Herbert a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, Belichick is very good at game planning for specific types of quarterbacks and also using deception, which rookie quarterbacks do tend to struggle with.
Tim Kalisha?
I don't want to call this a silly question at the risk of going the wrong direction here.
Okay, well,
but I bet out of those 21 wins against rookie quarterbacks, 20 of them came on teams that went to the playoffs, which Belichick doesn't have this year.
That's a good point.
Who cares? His team isn't any good.
All right, Kalish, so you survived. Maybe it's that rhythm that you were talking about here.
Question.
Blackstone, Bob Ryan. First to go, Mina Kimes, Tim Kalishaw. Mm. We'll take a look at the matchup here. Who's got the head-to-head in 4 minutes. Yeah. Let me be honest. It's 4 minutes. It's not 2 minutes. It's 4 minutes from showdown.
I can't wait.
Around the Horn is presented by Bullet Bourbon Frontier Whiskey. Highly awarded high rye whiskey. Enjoy responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
All right, Kalishaw, I know you run away from matchups against someone like Sarah Spain. She's 9-1 over you. You are 4-1 over Mina Kimes. Mina, what's up with that? How does the top guy have top billing over you?
Let's
see what happens this showdown. You guys love quarterbacks. I know. I love quarterbacks, too. They're the best. But when it comes to giving awards out, just always picking the quarterback is uncreative. I'm inventing a new award. Best, most valuable, most unstoppable offensive player, non-quarterback division. Mina Kimes, is it Derrick Henry or Travis Kelce for you this season?
Well, that basically is offensive player of the year, Tony. And it's Travis Kelce. I love Derrick Henry, but Kelce has almost as many yards as the next two tight ends combined. The gap between him and everyone else is just too big.
I'm going to go Henry. The difference here is that Kelce is connected to the best quarterback in the league. Henry is not connected to the best offensive line in the league for his running. It's a good offensive line. I don't know that it's great, but what he's done with 200-yard games is phenomenal.
He is absolutely. Is the next two running backs combined equal to what Derrick Henry's done this year? No. Kelce, that is a great stat, Mina. We'll move on. Michigan, season is over. It was over about 6 weeks ago. Stop me when this sounds familiar. Harbaugh, 1 year left on his deal. Tim, what should Michigan do?
You know, I think they're the same as Texas. Sit there and, reluctantly say he's coming back for another year. But I can't believe how it's fallen off the map. It used to be he didn't beat Ohio State. Now he's 3-3 against Michigan State and Penn State. And it just hasn't worked. It's been terrible.
I think Michigan should look for a replacement, like a Matt Campbell. But if they can't get a Matt Campbell or someone better than Harbaugh, they should just wait it out.
Anybody else hear when Mina starts talking college football? It's kind of like a southern accent that sneaks in there. Did anybody else hear that?
I've lived in a lot of places. Yes.
30 seconds of FaceTime. Mina does the impossible. She takes down Kalishaw in showdown.
Woo! All right, let's stay in Michigan because I want to give a shout out to Detroit Lions center Frank Ragnow. It's reported today that in the game against Green Bay, he fractured his throat. Everyone at home just grabbed their own throat. Not only did he play through it, according to reporting from Kyle Mankey at MLive.com, he didn't allow a single sack, pressure, or hurry. A reminder, NFL players are not like us.
I mean, unbelievable. I don't even know what that is. That's frightening. All right, that's going to do it, folks. 23.5-hour break. See you tomorrow.
Joking situation.
Happy Hour is presented by Bullet Bourbon Frontier Whiskey. Enjoy responsibly.